When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Hello, and welcome to part two, Corpses. Let's just crack on.
Okay, so today I'm going to talk to you about corpses in ancient Rome, which is kind of a fascinating subject just because it's full of the usual kind of bonkers stuff that you'd associate with that period. So to start with, I think it's worth saying that Romans had a complex relationship with death. When an individual died, a code of ritual and tradition kicked in, which imposed certain expectations on the surviving family, although poorer Romans made much less of a fuss of the dead than rich ones did, okay? So funerals of poorer Romans usually took place within about 24 hours, with cremation the method of choice.
That's very quick.
It is quite quick, isn't it? Yeah, 24 hours. I don't know if you've ever been involved in arranging a funeral or anything like that. There's a lot of admin involved.
And it seems to be taking longer these days.
Yes, there is. There's a lot of stuff that's involved. It's something that I've experienced. Also informing people of the death, all these sort of these things that you go through.
But if it's 24 hours, you're just kind of going, right, you got to be here tomorrow. Quick.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's
done. Exactly, yeah.
You limit the admin.
You send out one tweet, you say 3 p.m.
Tom, by the Colosseum. Tom's dead and we'll be throwing him in the Thames at 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Oh, what a exactly. Time full timers and subscribers get to attend the funeral.
Get to throw a match on the pyre. However, this 24-hour quick shot deal was not the case for wealthy Romans. And this is what I'm really going to talk to you about, okay? For wealthy Romans, the demands of death were huge. And I want to get your take on each of these. First of all, there was a 9-day mourning period after the moment of death.
Not enough. Yeah. When I go, it's going to be 3 months.
Of celebration. I think with grief, my experience of grief is it's something that it comes, it goes. That's what grief is. It's an undulating thing. It's not a consistent thing that's always there. I remember when my dad passed, a useful thing someone said to me was, it's okay to feel whatever you feel at any point. It changes, it comes and goes. And I think that's true of grief. And saying you've got 9 days of mourning, it feels a bit forced, doesn't it?
Start the clock.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, this is the exact amount of time.
There is to be no crying on the 10th day.
Yeah. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, get over it! Bam!
So it was 9 days of mourning. Final kiss was given on the lips of the deceased to mark the passing of the spirit, and some believe
on day 9
this was just at the moment of death. Some believe
to
capture the last breath was the idea.
Wow.
During the mourning period, no one in the household washed, no one went outside, no one sacrificed to the gods, and no one visited the house if they could help it for fear of ritual pollution. So basically you had to remain as you were at the moment of death for 9 days. So it came sort of quite a stinky place to be. I'm like a 2-shower-a-day guy. That's my sort of vibe. So I could definitely see a situation where I'm caught out coming out of the shower on like day 4.
Right.
Or someone notices
the
I smell
clock.
A bit of like I smell of original sauce or whatever. Someone's sniffing me. Wait a second, what is that?
I'd find that difficult, personally.
What? Like, it's just making it all the more unpleasant for everyone.
Yeah, you're already quite sad. You don't need to be sad and smelly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one needs that.
Exactly. Only undertakers and their staff were regarded as ritually unclean by the virtue of their profession, and so could move freely in and out. Now, you say you didn't want to be smelly, Chris. Well, your odour was not the only concern here, okay? Because we haven't taken into account what was happening to the body.
Yes.
So, for 7 of those 9 days, the corpse of the now deceased ancient Roman was on display in the central courtyard of your house. So basically, Gran is in the conservatory. That's what's happening. She's there for 7 days.
Oh, God.
She's percolating.
Feeling.
Quite nicely in the sunshine.
The undertaker has prepared them in some way, but they are sat in your courtyard for 7 days.
Hot old country.
It's... Yeah.
Do you want to die in August, do you?
When did they invent the clothes peg? Because that feels quite important. but it gets weirder. This body was put in a repose on a funeral couch as though reclining during a meal. So with makeup applied to disguise the pallor of death and the feet positioned to point towards the door in symbolic preparation for departure. So they would basically prop you up on a seat as if you were enjoying a meal. So it's got quite a lifelike pose, which made me think...
That's quite nice, I think.
It is quite nice. I think there's something nice about that, in a way, that you are as you were in life. But it got me thinking, what pose are you going for? What pose are you asking for?
Alan Shearer wheeling away from having scored a goal. Pointing at the sky.
What about you, Chris?
That's a good one. Probably deep in thought. Wouldn't you want to be deep in thought?
Oh, one of the great thinkers.
Looking out there in a...
Chris Skull, one of the great West Ham podcasters and thinkers of our age.
Would you want them to open sort of quite a famously complicated book in front of you as well?
Brief History of Time.
The opening dance move in Village People's YMCA. It's a big Y.
I've decided that I'd like to be sort of useful for my family one final time. So maybe like holding a tray for some drinks or like a stool for people to sit on.
Holding the door open, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
The door open.
Hat stand.
And then my dad going, are you in or out? Are you coming in or out? Make your mind up, in or out?
We don't have enough sort of coat pegs in our hall. That'd be quite useful. So all the fingers splayed out for 10 different coats. I don't know, there's ways to be useful for a final time.
And then rigor mortis would set in. It'd actually be quite useful.
Exactly. And then finally, in this sort of display, a small denomination coin was placed in the mouth of the deceased, known as Charon's obol, which intended to pay the boatman Charon so that the spirit might pass across the River Sphinx and into the underworld. At least that's how the ritual was mythologized in Roman writings. Elsewhere in Rome, the coin could be placed elsewhere in the body, depending on your location. I do hope they're a little bit specific about that.
Yeah.
You know, someone walking and going, what the hell are you doing, Steve? Where's that coin going? Nobody specified the eyes. I'm sorry.
Shove it up there.
Shove it up there. Exactly. Now, interestingly, where Roman practice met even old tradition in places such as Egypt, other practices emerged. For example, it was typical amongst wealthy Romans to display objects dear to the deceased in a cabinet in the house's atrium. So when people came in, they'd see things that were dear to that person. So anything in your life that you'd like in that little cabinet to reflect who you were?
My iPhone.
Your iPhone. He loved his iPhone. Imagine having that on your gravestone. He really loved his iPhone. Etched into stone.
Yeah. On a similar note, I want my fax machine in there.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
With its own power source.
Do you know what's interesting? Cultures. You're very tuned into how your culture treats death. I think if anyone acts inappropriately during a time of grieving or during a funeral, it is looked down upon. It's such a social faux pas.
Yeah.
But obviously, that's true even today. And yet, with these traditions, obviously we don't do them anymore. They eventually died out and changed. At some point, someone must have said, I'm not sure this 9 days in the bloody courtyard? Is that sensible? Is anyone else think? No? But that must have happened. People must have gone, this is bonkers. What are we doing?
100%.
And I've always thought Italians were quite good at... One of the classic images through history is the idea of the Italian widow in black. They do death quite well in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
Putting a rotting corpse in the sunshine for 9 days.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't just the corpse. As I say, there was this cabinet full of objects that were important. And the most common commemorative object left in this cabinet was the death mask, which is a cast of the deceased face taken prior to burial or cremation. And in Egypt, this idea merged with the process of mummification to produce a rather more elaborate presentation. Now, I'm going to tell you about this and before I close. The main example of this Egyptian style are these things called Fayum portraits. Now, have you heard of these?
No.
No.
Which is a series of incredibly well-preserved paintings on wood which show the faces of Roman Egyptians, which will attach to our Instagram once again, which once again I'm sure we can agree is what the deceased would want to happen. And these paintings would once have been attached to the front of a mummy on the bandage wrappings to remind the viewer to show them who was underneath. Okay. And other techniques included stucco paintings of the mummy shroud, and on that they would provide a full-length portrait of the face and what you were wearing in death, your final outfit. I think it's quite a lot of pressure to what you're asking to be buried in. Quick little game. I've predicted here what you would go for as your final outfit to be depicted on the front of your mummified shroud, just to see if I get it right. Elle, what are you going for?
Full Wales kit, but the Euro 2016 version.
Oh, I've gone Wales shirt, 1984, matching shorts and pair of Puma kicks.
Do you know what? That's actually, you know me better than I know myself, because that's a much nicer kit. It's just that team did ultimately underachieve.
And Skull, what are you going for?
Well, I think it's got to be a West Ham kit, no?
Is it? No, I've gone white tux and a pair of jeans with a fashionable tear at the knee.
With the death mask, in the pre-photograph age, once someone died, you wouldn't be able to remember their, you know, you had no document of their face.
Yes.
Yeah.
For the last 100 years or so, we've had photographs. So when someone died, you were
really
able to look at the photograph and go, and grieve and remember that person. But unless you were being painted, which was reserved for only the very richest people.
Yeah, that's completely right. And a final beat of craziness, okay, to do with this. In the 19th century, there was a mad trend, which is when the West were completely obsessed with all things Egyptian. It was not uncommon at that point for wealthy Americans and Europeans to buy mummies when on their visit to Egypt to furnish their own houses back home. Meant putting mummified corpses wrapped in bandages in the corners of living rooms, dining rooms, studies, libraries, and even bedrooms.
Thank you.
People would have a mummy in the corner of their bed. This is just in the 19th century. In the corner of their room, you would have a mummy looking at you, possibly with one of these fine portraits on the front. There you go.
Wow. Good Lord.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
All right, so I'm going to be telling you all about different leaders, mainly dictators, who are embalmed and their corpses are on display. Now, I've always had a bit of a fascination with this, and I find it a bit weird that this kind of goes on. But of course, we had a recent example here in the UK, September 2022, when Queen Elizabeth II died. Hundreds of thousands of people queued around London to view the late monarch lying in state. And of course, some famously didn't queue. David Beckham queued. Were you tempted at all, boys, to go queue up and have a look?
No. Of course.
Not my thing, I must admit. Not my thing.
I do know people who did it.
Yeah, and I absolutely. Kind of... The thing I find appealing about it is that sense of history. Maybe I would have liked to have done it, but I'm not queuing 8 hours for it.
It was longer than that. It was like a 24-hour shuffle, wasn't it?
Oh, man.
But I appreciate the draw and why people are drawn to do that. I get it.
But there's a lot more pomp and ceremony if you happen to live in a dictatorship through history. Chairman Mao, he wanted to be cremated, but you can go to Mao Memorial Hall in Tiananmen Square in Beijing and go into a darkened room and see his embalmed corpse draped in the red flag of the Chinese Communist Party set beneath a glass coffin.
The one I'm fascinated by, and I'm sure you'll be discussing this, is Lenin.
Well, I'll get on to him, but just before that, if you want to go to North Korea, and for a while, I'd say when I kind of came out, you know, in like my mid-20s, I was like, I really want to go to North Korea. I don't know why. I just found it so... And I know all about, like, you just get taken around. You don't get to see any of the real North Korea. You get a very sanitized version. And of course, it is so dangerous. But should you go, you will be able to see Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il. They're both on display at tourist-focused mausoleum.
Yeah, amazing.
And of course, you can go see the scenes of their funerals and the public displays of grief when both of those guys died. And in Vietnam, you can go see the embalmed body of Ho Chi Minh, should you fancy.
Can you? I didn't know that.
Wow. But the inspiration for all these dictators on display, I don't know if you know this, is the embalmed corpse of Vladimir Lenin.
Yeah.
It has now been on display in Moscow's Red Square since January 1924, over 100 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Out there, getting looked at.
I was probably a little kid, actually, when I first discovered this. I could not believe it.
Totally agree. It's so odd to put it on display, but I guess that Soviet system was his brainchild, and for so many years this was the owning the media and having the means to offer up propaganda. He was almost, he became a godlike figure in death, and people could go from throughout the Soviet Union and go visit and see his corpse. So the big question, how do you keep a 100-year-old corpse in fine fettle?
Yes.
Oil
of Yule, am I right? Applied twice a day.
Do you know what I like about you, Tom? It hasn't been called Oil of Yule for about 35 years.
Was it not? What's
and
it
that is
now?
What I call it as well. It's Oil of Ole now. They changed the name. But for the two of us stuck in the 80s, we're still calling it Oil of Yule.
Well, this is what's working wonders for Lenin's skin, and I wouldn't recommend trying this yourself. Once a year, he gets removed and is soaked in a solution of glycerol and potassium acetate. He hasn't got his real eyeballs in there.
That's what I do, though, Chris. That's my bathing routine. It's once a year that I'm
is that why you look so young?
So fresh face. I'm actually 98.
He's got synthetic eyeballs in his eye, in his orbital cavities, to prevent the eye sockets from collapsing.
Bloody hell.
If you were to use the one-day time machine and go visit the Lenin's mausoleum between 1953 and 1961, you would also get a Brucey bonus of being able to see Joseph Stalin as well. But Joseph Stalin's body was removed in October 1961 as part of the Soviet Union's de-Stalinization program. But Lenin is still there now.
Right.
So the actual construction of the mausoleum around him, it was constructed in 3 days in minus 30 degrees weather, just after Lenin died in January 1924. A construction made of wood, and it was designed to mimic the steps of ancient Egypt. The work of architect Alexei Shushushev, who had previously specialised in Orthodox churches and railway stations. But it was soon realised this wooden construction that is housing 100,000 people to come funnel through and have a look at Lenin's corpse over those first few weeks was so small that they needed a larger version. The larger version opened in August 1924, but then was replaced in November 1930 after mould started creeping into the structure and also on Lenin's body itself.
Shit. Oh, dear.
Yeah. So the present sarcophagus with its glass windows, the new mausoleum built in November 1930, that's largely the one that's still there. And then the sarcophagus that Lenin's body is in with glass windows, the creation of Nikolai Tomsky in the early 1970s. Now, Stalin's coffin was paraded through Moscow in 1953. And as we said, like these scenes of great dictators dying, the level of mourning is just a few leagues above what we saw with Queen Elizabeth II, I think it's fair to say. Stalin's coffin was draped in a bright red cloth and it had a viewing dome so mourners could see the face. And thousands of people filed into the Hall of Columns in Moscow to see the shrunken body of Stalin in a military uniform, surrounded by so many flowers. It's untrue. It looks like Kew Gardens. It's well worth having a look at how many
people. How shrunken? Is he like 2'3"? How shrunken is he?
We're not talking 5'3", kind of Tolan Man, Alan Wright standards, but shrunken nonetheless.
Okay.
But do you know, in London, you can go visit a semi-corpse right now. Have you heard of Jeremy Bentham?
Yes,
the 19th century utilitarian philosopher.
Well, yeah, I studied him at university. Is his body embalmed?
Is you see it, if you go to University College London, you will see the remains of the embalmed body of the 18th and 19th century philosopher.
Isn't he in quite a lifelike pose? Is that right?
Yes, he's kind of sat down, glasses to one side, almost as if he's ready to have a conversation with his observer. So Bentham wrote this all out in his will. He said, if it should so happen that my personal friends and other disciples should be disposed to meet together on some days or days of the year for the purpose of commemorating the founder of the greatest happiness of system of morals and legislation, my executor will, from time to time, be conveyed to the room in which they meet, the said box or the case with the contents therein, to be stationed in such part of the room as to the assembled company shall see meet.
He wanted to
be kind of embalmed and placed into a position that people, for whatever reason, his friends could sit down and maybe pretend to have a conversation with him. It became known, his pose and his kind of corpse, as the auto icon. But
that is a level of FOMO that I have never, even after death, you have a fear of missing out on social gathering with your mates.
So, as per Bentham's instructions, his preserved skeleton is dressed in his own clothes. The clothes are padded out with straw, and he wanted his own head. But the embalming process was, let's just say, a bit experimental. Right. And the preservation process was mangled. And basically, they thought, this head, his original head, is too horrific to actually use. So what you see, if you were to go have a look at Jeremy Bentham, is his real skeleton is under the clothes, in his real clothes. His real hair, but that is a waxwork head. But they used to have the actual head, his real head, which is a bit gory, would sit between his legs, and it'd be on display for many, many years. However, around about the 80s and the 90s, students kept nicking the head.
Oh, my God.
Right. Okay.
And holding it ransom and demanding that the university give, like, a ransom payment to shelter.
Playing a game of five-a-side.
And people would take it around the country. Like, it was once it went up to Scotland.
Come on, lads.
Wow.
So the university said, you know what? Let's just put the head away. So the head still exists, but it's locked up and it's in storage. But the embalmed body of Jeremy Bentham, you can see that. It is on display. And the University College London have had it since 1850. So if you're interested in going to see some of the historic corpses and these bodies, they're knocking around, even in London, all over the place.
I'm sure Jeremy Bentham will be delighted by the fact that his skeleton is on show in a padded out cloth while his head has been removed and is in storage elsewhere. Which is exactly what he hoped would happen.
That is crazy.
Do you think he was hoping that maybe after death, you might be able to see something through your head? You know, like he might be able to observe the world. And would he be absolutely furious that his body is in one bit, but his head is just in a cupboard?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He might just be staring at that cupboard.
If I believed that, I would ask to be propped up in the back row of an Odeon cinema. So that at least get four films a day
every
for
year.
The rest of my life.
Every year I say to myself, I'm going to watch all of the films that were nominated for Oscars this year. The only way I'll manage it is if I die and I'm propped up at the back of an Everyman.
Until a point when Netflix completely kills cinema and then you're just
you're sat
left
in
a dark, dusty room
years.
Exactly for eternity.
All right, so that's it for this week. Thank you for listening. Why not become an Oh What a Time full timer? Because if you do, you're going to get an extra part, which is on the body of William the Conqueror and what happened to it. And it's pretty gory and horrific. You might want to hear this. Plus, you get a bonus episode every month. The whole episode in one complete bit, ad-free, a week in advance, loads of good stuff. To sign up, go to ohwhatatime.com. You'll see the options there. But otherwise, thank you for joining us for Corpses. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.